Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. I'm Gary Zimak. You and I are going to be hanging out together for the next 30 minutes. Today, we're going back to the empty tomb. Yes, absolutely, back to the empty tomb, because as we've been discussing over the past few weeks, sometimes we live our lives as if the resurrection of Jesus Christ never happened. But we know it did happen. He is risen. He is truly risen. So when we look at the difficulties, the challenges of our lives, and we all have them, let's be honest, we need to keep in mind that the Lord is alive, He is risen, He is with us, and no situation, I repeat, no situation is ever hopeless. There is always hope, because why? With God, all things are possible. That's the reason I do this show. That's the reason I write my books. That's the reason I speak across the country, because I want everybody to know that Jesus Christ wants to be a part of your life, and with Him, all things are possible, and there is always hope. Today on the program, we're going to open up our Bibles. In case you want to run and get your Bible, it might be a good time to do it, and look at John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, the story once again of the empty tomb. And the reason I decided to do so many shows on this topic, the empty tomb, looking at the empty tomb with discouragement, or looking at the empty tomb with happiness and hopefulness. There's two different ways we can look at the empty tomb. The reason I wanted to talk so much about this is because there are 7 weeks of Easter. Easter Sunday is such a big day. The resurrection of the Lord is so big that the church takes time to really unpack this, to look at it for 7 weeks. There are 7 weeks of Easter. And I thought it was really neat that on the days following Easter Sunday, the readings from Daily Mass, specifically the Gospels from Daily Mass, each day focused on different individuals responding to the empty tomb or the resurrection. Just about nobody, with the exception of the Blessed Mother, who is not documented in the Bible as going to the empty tomb. And the church has always held that the reason for this is that she knew that Jesus would rise from the dead and He wasn't in the tomb. But so many people missed the point and they were going to the empty tomb, upset that the body of our Lord wasn't there. Well, that's because He rose from the dead. It's a good thing. So I thought it's great that we focus on this for several weeks after Easter. And that's what we're doing on the program. I want to thank you for listening to the show. I want to thank all of my Catholic radio stations around the world who are now carrying this program. I'm very grateful that in addition to the podcast, we have many Catholic radio stations airing the program, and I'm so glad about that. I also put out a call last week for prayer intentions. If you have prayer intentions, I would like to pray for your needs on this program. So please, in the future, don't forget to send them to me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. That's Gary@followingthetruth.com. Or you can go right to followingthetruth.com, my website, and use the contact tab to reach out to me there. Let me know your needs. Let me know what I can pray for on this program. We're going to use first names only, but you're going to have lots of people praying for your intentions. And in fact, I have some that I'll be including in the opening prayer, which we will get to now. So if you would, let's take a minute. Let's compose ourselves. Let's think about this incredible privilege that we have to give our needs to Almighty God. I mean, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? We worry about our problems. We take it all upon ourselves, but He doesn't want us to. He wants us to share our burdens with Him. Give them all to Him. We're going to do that now and ask for Him to handle the problems for us. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? To give your problems to the person who created the entire universe out of nothing. I think He's going to do a better job with them than we are. So with that in mind, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, You are the giver of all good things. You are someone who we can turn to at all times with our needs. In fact, You want us to do that. You encourage us to turn to You with all our needs. Father, You created us solely because You loved us. You loved us into existence. You wanted us to experience Your joy, Your happiness. And that's why You allowed us to be created. So, Father, we thank You for that great gift. We thank You for the gift of life. So many times we become discouraged and we complain about different things, the weather, our jobs, our health, our relationships, our loneliness, whatever it is, we complain instead of thanking You for Your constant presence in our lives. So let me say thank You for being with us, Father, for being receptive to hearing our problems, whatever they may be. Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We are still celebrating His resurrection from the dead. It's for so many of us, death can be a very frightening thing. But Jesus overcame death, and that's pretty powerful. Father, we thank You for sending Jesus so that He could live among us, teach us to suffer, die, and rise from the dead so that the gates of heaven could be open for sinners like us. Thank You, Father. Father, we lift up the needs of all of our listeners today. We know that You can read our hearts. You know our intentions. We lift up all of our needs. But specifically, I want to pray now, Father, for Drew's uncle, who is having kidney surgery, for the repose of the soul of Doris and Rebecca, for reconciliation of Nellie's family members, and also for a special intention. We give You these needs, Father, and all of our unspoken needs, and we ask You to look with favor on our requests, and please grant them if they are in accordance with Your will. Father, I ask You to speak through me on the program today. Send Your Holy Spirit to come alive in me so that I can put forth Your message, and so that I can get out of the way so Your message can go out over the airwaves. I ask You to open all of our minds and our hearts so that we will be receptive to what it is that You have to say to us today. And Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, man, I am so fired up. I love it when we pray. It's such a great opportunity. Please don't let your problems get the best of you. Instead of worrying about your problems, please present them to the Lord and say, Lord, please help me. And in fact, I recently blogged for the National Catholic Register about this very topic, the message of Jesus to St. Faustina about anxiety, worry, trust. And what Jesus said is this: you will give me great pleasure. Check this out. Great pleasure if you give to me all of your troubles. And He also went on to say that when we don't trust Him, what happens? It hurts Him. So rather than hurt Jesus, I mean, I'm sure you don't want to hurt Jesus. I don't either. But unintentionally, we do it sometimes when we don't share with Him our problems. We think we're doing Him a favor, don't we? We treat Jesus like we would treat one of our buddies, but Jesus is different. Look, let's face it, we're not going to unload. We all have great people in our lives that we can share our burdens with. But we get to a point where those people are going to say, look, you've told me a million times. I've had it. Please. All right, I'm praying for you. It's going to work out. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus is not like that. He wants to continually hear of whatever it is that bothers us. The smallest problems. You need a parking spot and you have an important meeting. You You have company coming over, and you're worried that your dinner is not going to turn out the way it should. Pray about it. He cares about all of these things. And, of course, he cares about the big things, too. You've just got a bad medical diagnosis. Let him know. Pray for complete healing. Give him the chance to work in your life, because that is exactly what he wants. Now, if you want to read that blog post for the National Catholic Register that I wrote, the easiest thing to do is go to my website, because it's a pretty powerful message. Many are familiar with the Divine Mercy message, but oftentimes we think, well, Divine Mercy, that's just for really bad sinners who need the Lord's mercy. It is, and also it's for those who are in fear, who live in fear and who have problems. Saint Faustina prayed the Chaplet of Divine Mercy when there were storms threatening her. And the storms went away. So, I mean, you could pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. You can look at the image of Divine Mercy and repeat those words as a prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. And you're going to get great graces from that. Jesus said that. If you want to read that article that I wrote for the National Catholic Register, head on over to my website, followingthetruth.com. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a button that says Follow Gary in the National Catholic Register. Just click on that, and you'll have access to all of my articles that I wrote for EWTN's National Catholic Register, the latest of which is about Divine Mercy for Worriers. Okay? Followingthetruth.com. And also, don't forget to send me your prayer intentions at Gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, we're going back to the empty tomb, and this is all good. You know, you think about looking at an empty tomb, not seeing Jesus yet. You put yourself in the position of those who experienced the crucifixion. Can you imagine how traumatic that must have been for them? A lot of times we look at our crucifix on the wall and it loses something. The impact is not there because it looks too clean. But if you've ever seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, you understand a little bit about what took place 2,000 years ago when Jesus was crucified, right? It was a scary, traumatizing event. But many times we don't realize that. When these people were going through this, when Jesus was crucified, they were confused. They were devastated. They were sad. And we see evidence of so many people going to the empty tomb and getting really bummed out, losing all hope. We do the same thing in our lives when we get hopeless, when we get discouraged, when we say, oh no, this problem, this will be the end of me. I'm never going to get through this. Yes, you will. Why? Because the Lord is with you. He is risen. He's with you. And he wants you to turn to him with your problems. So let's open up our Bibles and look at John chapter 20. This is the second to the last chapter in the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And this is after Jesus had been put to death, okay? Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now let's talk a little bit about that idea. When it was still dark, Mary went to the tomb. And in the other Gospels, we're told that the reason Mary was at the tomb was to anoint the body. She wasn't there to verify that Jesus had risen from the dead. And I think that's an important fact for us to remember. Mary and so many other people missed the words of Jesus when he said, it's necessary for me to suffer, to die, and to rise from the dead. That's what he said. And so many people missed it. And let's face it, we know that too. And every time we allow ourselves to feel hopeless, or to give in to hopelessness, I should say, you can feel hopeless and still recognize that it's not hopeless. There's a difference to that. When we do that, when we allow ourselves to dwell on the negative and dwell on the fact that this problem is not possibly ever going to be resolved, I'm doomed, this is not going to work out. When we do that, we are doing what these people did when they went to the empty tomb and were sad. Mary went while it was still dark. So I say, in your life right now, if you're struggling with something, it's time to pay a visit to the empty tomb, even though everything looks dark. Because it's in that empty tomb that you're going to encounter Jesus and have the hope that you need to go on. Mary recognized that the stone had been taken away from the tomb, so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, now listen to this. This is very telling, her words, because it tells you exactly what her mindset was at the time. She sees the tomb empty, and she said this, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Do you hear that? She didn't say, "Hallelujah, Jesus is risen from the dead." She's looking at the tomb and she's saying, "They have taken him. Somebody stole the body, guys. What's going on? Somebody stole the body of Jesus." Again, something beautiful and wonderful happened. Miraculous. Jesus has risen from the dead, and she's looking at it and she's totally missing it. And I would say, if you are hopeless about a problem in your life, you're missing it too. And listen, don't think I don't miss it. I get discouraged sometimes. We all need to work on this. This is a process. But the reason I'm doing these series of programs is because I want you to understand, just because something appears hopeless, it doesn't mean that it is. Feelings are not facts. I'm going to say that again. Feelings are not facts. Just because you feel hopeless doesn't mean that it is. So here Mary's saying, somebody stole Jesus. What do we do? Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Now, the other disciple, typically it's assumed that this is the disciple John. He got to the tomb first. What does that tell us? That John's a better runner, I guess. But John got there first. He outran Peter. He reached the tomb first, and stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. He allowed Simon Peter to go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying and the napkin, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Did you catch that? They did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So they're both in the tomb, and they see that the tomb is empty. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their home. So here we go. The disciples are at the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene is there. She tells them, everybody thinks the tomb is empty. They go back to their homes. Now, what happens to Mary? Verse 11 tells us Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. Something incredibly good happened. Jesus rose from the dead, and Mary is standing outside of the tomb weeping. And again, it's important for us when we look at this to recognize that just because we are sad, just because something in our life appears hopeless, just because we are staring at complete darkness, at a very dark future, doesn't mean that the Lord's not with us, and doesn't mean that there is no hope. Because as the details of this event unfold, you're going to see what happens. Jesus is waiting to meet you in the midst of the darkness. In the midst of the storm, he is there. A lot of times we feel that he's not there. He is always there. And when we turn to him in the midst of the storm, we're going to find him. He's not going to hide from us. Sometimes it feels like he's not there. But whenever we reach out to him, whenever we try to initiate that contact and say, "Lord, please help me with this problem," he is always ready to respond. I promise you that. I'm not going to lie to you. That is absolutely true. So Mary's weeping outside the tomb. She's all by herself now. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. I guess she wanted to verify that he's still not there. I mean, who knows what she was doing at that point. She's looking back at the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And the angels said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And here again, Mary says to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, it's pretty clear. I mean, I don't know how it could be any more clear that Mary thinks the body of Jesus had been stolen. She's not recognizing even the possibility that he might have risen from the dead. Just let me say, I'll be completely honest, it's challenging sometimes if you're facing a really, really tough situation in your life to see the good that might come out of it. It's tough. And that's where the Holy Spirit can help us. And that's where this continual practice of giving the Lord the benefit of the doubt, or praying that prayer found on the Divine Mercy image, Jesus, I trust in you. That's where this can help us, because this takes practice. This doesn't happen overnight. It is a process. I am much more willing to trust in the Lord now than I was 2 or 3 years ago. And I would hope that 2 or 3 years from now, I'm going to be even more willing to trust him, to give him the benefit of the doubt. This is a process that we're going to be going through for the rest of our lives. Learning to trust more, reaching out to the Lord. And it happens, this process, this growing in faith, this growing in trust happens because we give him a chance to work in our lives. If we don't ever ask for anything, our faith won't grow, because we're not giving him the chance to work in our lives. When we do ask, and I always say, ask big. If you need something, tell him exactly what you need. The more you do that, the more you'll see him work. And then you can look back and say, yeah, I remember that time I couldn't pay my bills at the end of the month, and the Lord came through miraculously. That is how our faith grows. So Mary said, I don't know where they took Jesus. Saying this, this is where the story gets really cool. Saying this, Mary turned around and saw Jesus standing. But, and this is an important but she did not know that it was Jesus. And I'll just add that you and I, many times in our lives, when we feel hopeless, when we feel that there is no chance that this problem is ever going to get fixed, Jesus is standing right with us, and we don't recognize him either. Come on, let's be honest. You know I'm talking to somebody right now. We don't recognize Jesus either. So essentially, we're like Mary. We're at the empty tomb. We're crying, and we don't recognize Jesus even though he is with us. And let's point that out as well, that Jesus, just because we don't recognize Jesus, doesn't mean he's not there. Again, just because we don't recognize the presence of the Lord doesn't mean that he's not there. He's there. We just need to look for him. So Jesus is with Mary. She doesn't know it's him. And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?" Now, we know the answer to this. Jesus knows the answer to this as well. But he asks the question so that we can get a little bit of an insight into the mind of Mary Magdalene. She supposes him to be the gardener and responded, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Isn't that incredible? Mary thinks that Jesus, appearing to her in the midst of her grief, might actually be the gardener. And very politely, that's a very polite way that she puts it, "Sir, if you have taken him, please let me know where you have laid him." Because again, she wants to anoint his body. And then at this point, and this is an example of how the Lord Jesus always continues to reach out to us and meet us wherever we are. Please remember that. Sometimes we're at that point where we are just having trouble recognizing him. We don't even know it's possible to recognize him or to reach out to him. And what does he do? He finds a way to break through. And Jesus at this point said to her, "Mary." That's all he said. Mary. He called her by name, just as he calls each one of us by name. In the midst of my problems, he's calling me, Gary. And that's all he has to say. And then how did Mary respond? Mary responded by turning to him and saying in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. So in other words, all she had to hear was her name called by Jesus. She turned around and recognized him. Now, in your life, with that problem that you're facing right now, he's calling you too. He's calling you by name. And I think this is a great meditation if you just spend a little bit of time today and picture Jesus calling your name. pull out a picture of Jesus. That Divine Mercy image is a great one. If you don't have one, please try to get one. You can Google it, just Divine Mercy image on the internet, and you'll be able to find one. And just look at that image and picture Jesus calling your name. And don't even worry about anything else that he says, just calling your name in the midst of the storm. How does that make you feel? The more you think about that, I promise you, the more you're going to feel more hopeful. The more hopeful you will feel, I should say, when you do that. Just picture Jesus calling your name today. And then Jesus said to Mary, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. So what Mary did at this point, she encountered Jesus in the midst of her grief. And now Mary knows that Jesus Christ is indeed risen from the dead. What does she do? She shares the good news with others. That is what you and I are called to do. So I want you to just spend a little time as we near the end of this program, spend a little time for the rest of the week meditating on this story. And when I say meditate, sometimes people get freaked out by that term because it sounds really, really challenging, doesn't it? Meditate just means to think about. And you know, if you're somebody who tends to worry, you already are, you don't realize it, but you are really good at meditating, because what do when we worry? We think and dwell and ruminate, if you're looking for a fancy word, on our problems. That's what worrying is. But if you do that same thing and apply it to something good, like the resurrection of the Lord or having him call your name, man, that's gonna bring about that encounter with Jesus that you're looking for. And eventually you're going to get a lot of peace in your life. So that's what meditation is. It just means to spend just a little time, just relax, don't rush through the reading. And this week we looked at John chapter 20, verse 1 through, what is this, verse 18. John 20, 1 through 18. Just spend some time thinking about these words and picture the Lord speaking to you, calling your name in the midst of your struggles right now, whatever you're going through. I want to thank you again for listening to the program. I can't believe how fast the time goes. I love doing this show. Please drop me a line through email, gary@followingthetruth.com. Let me know if you like the program. Send along your prayer requests. If you're listening to this on the podcast and you want your local Catholic radio show station to air the show, please let them know that the Gary Zimak Show is available. Have them get in touch with me at gary@followingthetruth.com, and we'll make it available to any station who wants it. So again, thank you for listening. Contact me at followingthetruth.com if you want to invite me to speak, to lead a parish mission, or whatever you'd like me to do, to give a talk or a retreat. Also, if you would like to make a donation to sustain my full-time ministry, I would be very, very grateful. You can do that at followingthetruth.com. It is an unbelievable pleasure to be with you here each week on the radio. I look forward to us getting together next time. I really do. It's a lot of fun. And remember, the Lord is risen. Don't be discouraged. I promise, he really is. So until we meet again, this is Gary Zimak reminding you, wherever you go, whatever you do, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. Why is that? Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See you next time.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.